Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master, Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Saints and Sages of all religions, We bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only king. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace.
Bless.
Amen. Have a few readings for us tonight. I'll start with the Bible reading. For as the Father raise up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given his authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light for a while. It's another translation. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, and the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For have ye believed in Moses, ye would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And from David, may Christ be risen in you today. May Christ be risen in you today is an ancient Orthodox Christian greeting on Easter morning. John Durkin wrote to me in an email. He sent those greetings on to me, and in turn I send them on to you. I thought it was a beautiful blessing, and contained in it the implicit message that the Christ story is every man's hidden potential. The Christ principle is part and parcel of the human being's makeup. I'm going to read part of that again. I thought it was such a beautiful blessing, and contains in it the implicit message that the Christ story is every man's hidden potential. The Christ principle is part and parcel of the human being's makeup. The blessing again. May Christ be risen in you today. May Christ be risen in you today. May Christ be risen in you today. How remarkable when the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ jumps off the pages from ancient texts and awakens a sleeping godhood within. Mother Hamilton did that for me. She made the Christ live in me and showed me the way to realize our one Father God. The power of God in her helped awaken the sleeping God in me, and for that she has my eternal gratitude. I'd like us to take a moment right now and bring ourselves back to that moment. When the Christ was risen in us, I think no one would be here had they not experienced that. And I want you each to go back to that moment, to that time when that glow of Christ's light was awakened in you. Whether it was subtle and it developed over time, whether it was a flash of insight that ran from your tip of your toes to the top of your head, whether it was a gentle knowing that came in the words of the teacher or guru. Bring yourself back to that moment. And allow that moment to expand to the greatness that it was then, without the dulling of time, without excuses. Allow the mind to remember it. That identification of the truth with a capital T. Let the heart experience it. The warmth, the glow, the peace that comes with that knowledge, that sense of oneness. Expand into the truth of that being. And with each breath, remember it more deeply. Experience the truth of it. Going to play a song, meditation song. We stay in that experience.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. I the Lord of wind and flame. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I
back to David's writing. Mother took me on such a tremendous journey, physically demanding, mentally exacting, emotionally expanding. In short, it tested me in every possible way, and in more ways than I could ever anticipate. From the mystical crucifixion of the physical, energetic, and mental, each stage carried with it its own tests and its upliftment. Surely there is no greater challenge and no comparable reward. Jesus came in a line of perfect incarnations that our Heavenly Father has sent to us to show us the way back to Him. We err when we make a God of one of His incarnations and neglect the primary message that the same God is within us as in Him. I'm going to play the song again, and I want you to really take it in, that this song is Christ answering the call, and it's us answering the call. Whatever that might be that God asks of us in this lifetime, whatever it is we may have to surrender, whatever must be crucified for us to have Him completely, to be resurrected, to be perfected in Him.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall is it I, Lord? I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I
the preparation for Easter, the 40 days of Lent, were originally created to prepare the body of the church, which was, of course, the people of the church, for the acceptance of new souls joining them in baptism. And baptism took place on Easter. So the 40 days, and particularly what's referred to as Holy Week, has special significance because it asks of us that we become Christ-like, that we allow God's light to flow into us and through us to the souls around us, to uplift all mankind, to bring the message of the Christ to the world. To bring the story of from death to eternal life. Can we imagine such a thing? I was listening to a couple of talks of David's today. And you'll have to bear with me because the transcript that I printed out is not proofread yet. But I think this one section is fine. So this is a quote from Emerson that David's reading, a transcript of Mother's Talk, which I always think it's thrice blessed because Emerson wrote it, and then Mother read it, and then David read Mother reading it. And so it has all that Shakti in it. All that I have seen, Emerson says, teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I've not seen. Isn't that wonderful? You think about, and then this is Mother, you think about all the things that we see, the marvelous human instruments and everything that happened is so miraculous. And so even the things that we see is made by the master architect, and therefore we can trust the things that we have not seen. It is a radiant faith in the unexplored, the undiscovered, the miracles of the future. There is a magic in the art of believing. Believe, engrave those words of the Master in your memory. All things are possible to him that believes. Believe that the limitless supply of God's goodness, the universe is filled with more. Wonders than you can imagine. Believe, project a mental picture of your goal in life, believing as a creative force that brings the visible out of the invisible. You must believe to achieve. That's a tremendous statement. Project a mental picture of your goal in life, believing as a creative force that brings the visible out of the invisible. There's a mental magnet within you that attracts to you what you are to attract. Doubts and faith attracts faith. That attracts doubt and faith attracts faith. Believe. Believe that you are big enough to master any problem, that you can handle life. Believe that you can go on growing now and through all eternity. Drive a stake far out into the universe. Believe, Mother continues, we must take things on faith to start with, because we and our ignorance and our lack of understanding, and specifically of knowledge and realization, cannot see the end of things. And that is the way it is meant to be, because the way of the cross on the Christ is certainly not an easy one, nor has said that it is because it is a total crucifixion, the total transformation of the human ego. This is not an easy thing to do because this ego is embedded so deeply within man's consciousness, within his habit patterns, his actions, that he thinks he is separate from God, when in truth he is part and parcel of the divine that dwells within himself. He is not taught when he is small that Christ resides in him in the body of flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite Spirit takes on a garment of flesh, and it comes into the earth to go through all the experiences which are necessary to bring us to the realization of our oneness with God. And the most wonderful thing is to become aware now, this moment, to believe, to have faith. That is true now, and we don't have to wait for it. It is here with us. He goes through the crucifixion on his own cross, which is his body. He goes through all the various experiences that are described in every living scripture in the world. And what stops us from taking that step? What makes us back away from the very thing that we know can grant us eternal life? I love the story that David tells of struggling and struggling with the next step in his path, and finding and experiencing God, and knowing that the last place he wanted to go was up the last three steps to his final realization. That he could go anywhere in all the three worlds except those final steps. And we all know it's fear that keeps us rooted here. We know it's shame and fear. The shame that we're not worthy and that God will turn us away when we knock on that door, when we present ourselves on the cross, naked, alone, bleeding, dying. What if God says, no, thank you? What if we were wrong? And then indeed, those missteps we made, those sins that we committed, God says, no, thank you. We certainly know from everything that the great ones who have experienced God have taught us, that God is our loving Father, and that he would never abandon us, no matter what we do to separate ourselves from him. He comes running out as soon as we're ready to meet us, to scoop us into his arms, to bring us back home. Not just to our room that he's prepared, but a mansion that is perfect for us. And if we have more to learn, he prepares us in whatever way is necessary and turns us back into this physical consciousness where we experience what we must experience, to learn what we must learn, to earn a permanent place in his heaven, in his body, in his being. And David tells the story of climbing those three steps and standing there at the door and pulling it open with all of his might, trying to get in, trying to get to God, that final doorway. And for how many months, how many years did he pull on that door, only to finally realize it was his own foot wedged against it, not allowing it to open. The ego is terrified of the crucifixion. The ego is certain that it will no longer exist. And if the ego dies, the consciousness feels that we are no longer the soul, the small self, that we cease to exist. And I realize that that is so terrifying because we have memories. And I have a conscious memory of being in that state of limbo, being dead, but aware of waiting for what felt like an eternity for this birth. Just waiting. Not able to act in the astral, not able to experience, but just in that twilight sleep, paralyzed in the darkness. And we think that that's what the surrender of the ego is, and it's the exact opposite. It's holding on to the ego that puts us into that state. That state of separateness. Were we to experience all that God is and all that we are. There could be no darkness. There could be no staticness. There could be no time that expands for what feels like eternity. Because we just are in the allness of God, we are. And when we look into the expanses, when we look across the vast ocean, when we look into that vault of blue, all those beautiful places that draw us, when we look across the vastness of a beautiful desert, we begin to experience that allness of God. It's a taste of it, of the expansion that holds it. When we look into the minute happenings in the subatomic spaces, when we start to look in and things start to look, the tiniest things start to look like vast galaxies. We look into these giant photos from space. Some of the times we feel the enormity and the peace and the expansion, and some of the times we feel terrified by that enormity. We feel that we'll disappear. And these are all the fears of the ego, the fears that keep us from allowing ourselves to take the next steps. And God will wait. God has all the time in the world. Because for him, time is nothing. But for us, for those of us on this path that are impatient, what are we waiting for? The image comes to me of the odd prophet at the street corner with the sign that says, "The end is near." What if that was a joy-filled thought? The end is near. The end of clinging to this ego. The end of clinging to a need to control what happens. A need to know what's next. And being completely free in God. Imagine that absolute freedom. Imagine that absolute peace. Think about your worst fears, your worst anxieties. The thing that kept you awake, and imagine it all just melting away like the morning dew when the sun comes high. It has no place in God. And so we prepare to allow ourselves to surrender the body, to surrender all three bodies to God, that we may be arisen. And brought above this consciousness, above this small, narrow idea of who and what we are. Song is by Bhima.
Find balance in all things from the bottom of my heart. What to say and when to speak? Oh, I don't know my part. Find my path and find my feet. Oh, I don't know where to start. Oh, please help me from the bottom of my heart. Find balance in all things from the bottom of my heart. What to say and when to speak? Oh, I don't know my part. Find my path and find my feet. Oh, I don't know where to start. Oh, please help me from the bottom of my heart. Oh, please help me find balance in all things. Oh, I don't know where to start, what to say and when to speak. Oh, I don't know my part. Find my path and find my feet. Oh, I don't know where to start. Oh, please help me from the bottom of my heart.
It's April 7th, 2019. A God-Centered Life from David's Writings. The value of living a life centered in God is never so evident as when we face life's greatest challenges. But that is a time when having the strength that God awareness brings with it, along with knowing his never-failing goodness, love, and the peace that comes with perfect resignation to his will. The human way is to question why a seemingly untoward thing is happening. Fear and anger can run rampant with a consequence feeling of being cut off from God, the source of all virtues and right action. I'm going to read that again so we keep in mind how this happens. The human way is to question why a seemingly untoward thing is happening. Fear and anger can run rampant with the consequence of feeling cut off from God, the source of all virtue and right action. God does not pull the rug out from underneath us, so to speak, simply to vex us, nor is it a mechanistic universe that does all without thought or caring. When your eye of intuition is opened to the universal vision and you see a glowing intelligence behind all life, and you see demonstrated before you his grace operating in and around you, you undergo a marvelous transformation in which you are never alone, without direction or the strength to meet life's challenges. So let us cheerfully meet the world and know God as your soul and also soul support, comforter, and guide. Miracle list update. So this is one of the ways that David helped to really mentor us around how to do this. Today I'm typing this using my left hand. This morning I lifted my arm from my left shoulder. My left leg has shown signs of voluntary movement. My left side peripheral vision has vastly improved, and sustained concentration is much stronger. These were all affected by the hemorrhage on the right side of my brain. There are too many improvements to list here. This morning, for the first time, I could move my leg and actually felt some strength there. I continue in rehab boot camp here, where they ask the impossible so that they may get the possible. Rick and Judy are leaving for the Great White North as they have maxed out their allowed time for being out of the country. They have both been a godsend and done yeoman seva, along with Jerry and Lois, who will remain here. And of course, Carla, who after driving here while chasing the helicopter, the ICU, has not left my side, at one point sleeping on the floor, all the while making my life a million, million times easier. She has been a rock. And to you, dear ones, prayer warriors for Team Total Recovery, with too many assists to count, my deepest love and gratitude. Victory to God, victory to the light. I thought it was interesting because the other, I didn't read it, but the other Bible verse that I was taken to was when Jesus meets Peter for the first time. He gives him the name, and it means the rock. I thought it was interesting that God had taken me to that, and then also this where David refers to Carla as a rock. It was interesting, too, because I didn't realize that Peter, he had recognized Peter in that first meeting, at least from the telling that I was reading, as and gave him the nickname that meant the rock. I have no insight into what all that is about. I thought it was worth sharing. So as we go through these next few days leading up to Maundy Thursday, which is tomorrow, the Last Supper. I think it's interesting, the Jehovah's Witness folks only celebrate the Last Supper. They say that it's the only thing that God, or that is in the Bible, that it says to actually recognize. I think it's Christ says, you know, to do this in memory of me. And so that's their only kind of holiday that they celebrate. And then Friday's the crucifixion. And then on Sunday, we celebrate the joyous time of the resurrection. So to just hold these different things that happen, both in the physical, the metaphysical. We take account of them because it allows us to quicken our evolution on this path. When the mind becomes concentrated on these different images, it's the stations of the cross for those who have been in the Catholic churches that have these beautiful depictions of Christ's final days. It helps to focus the mind so that it may take us that final mile. Concentration to meditation, to focus on God, to complete surrender to God's will. No matter the cost. And all who have made that final passage and have come back to tell us, say they would do it again a million times for what's waiting on the other side. Christ's story, and that although it's difficult because of the language in the Bible that David prefers, the Bible passage is about God choosing Christ, choosing Jesus to do this work, and Jesus feeling the truth in it, and him not being recognized in that, and people recognizing others simply because other men, other folks within their group were hailing them. But he carried on, even when not a single one of his disciples, except for John the Beloved, was there at the crucifixion. The women were there, and John the Beloved was there. But everyone else had abandoned him. And in that last moment, even had felt that God had abandoned him, that he was there alone. So we must surrender all to gain all that is God. And whatever it is you're tiptoeing away from, whatever it is that you're avoiding, whatever it is that we say, oh, I'll get to that later, that is exactly where God is waiting. And we feel the power of it, and the ego is terrified of it. So even if you just commit yourself for the next few days to attack that place, to not step away from it, to not look away, to not be too busy. And even if it's only a 5-minute commitment, take these next few days, take the sacred time to try and push through. I can guarantee you that'll be exactly where your highest growth is waiting. And God will take care of the rest. It is the beauty. We just have to show up. We just have to stay on the battlefield. We really can't know what it is we have to do. His mother pointed out, and David pointed out, if we knew what was coming, we may not show up. I know that's not a very, doesn't make it easier to want to show up. But we don't want to have to do this again. We don't want to start over in our next lifetime and lose the ground that we've gained. till we be brave and we know. Mother and David and Swamiji and all the masters are on our team. We're not there alone, even when it feels like it. And we have one another. It's the greatest gift we can be given. But we do have to do it ourselves. Let's have our closing prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty
of thy glorious presence
in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Peace,
bliss, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jill. That was a beautiful service.
Thank you, Jill. Very uplifting.
Because of all of you. Arigato.
Arigato. Thank you.